saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and Menards.com for deals.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Gospel of Kinnison. This is episode 204, brought to you the week of April 15th, 2024. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison. This is my personal audio journal. How are you? I hope you're doing good. I am sick today. My bariatric sleeve stomach is acting crazy, possibly because of something I ate yesterday. Because, my friends, I ate a piece of pizza. God forbid. I'll get to you on that in a minute. First of all, I just want to tell you something that happened recently that was disturbing. It's disturbing to my soul. You guys know my love-hate relationship with dogs. Mostly hate, you know. My mother bred dogs and you know, they were everywhere. And I developed a dislike and a like of not having them around, you know, when I got older. So I have two dogs, of course, to make up for that. And because my kids, you know, I still believe in the power of dogs because you need to, you know, your kid needs dog, you know, and I hate cats more than dogs. So I don't believe in cats at all. Like, I don't believe in Santa, you know? Anyway, I had a weird and horrible moment with my dog. His name's Moffat. He's named after the famous Doctor Who writer, Stephen Moffat, who did some of the best Doctor Who stories, back in the day. But Moffat is a Shih Tzu, full blood, you know, got papers and everything. And he's a good dog. He throws up once in a while, but he poops outside. He pees outside. He's mannered. He's chill. He doesn't bark at anybody. He requests to go outside versus the other dog. It's part Maltese that demands everything, scratches the bowl. The whole deal, you know, when it's empty, she just demands food. Moffat kind of does this little, like he's trying to talk, you know, like, please bring me some food. But she demands that even after her daily allowance, she'll go in and scratch the daggone bowl. Anyway, point is, their Shih Tzus are pretty perfect, except for the fact that they grow hair like mad, but they don't shed. And so that's good. They have gross eyes, so that's not great. Because they leak like brown tears. It's gross. But poodles kind of do the same thing, right? And everybody's all down with poodles. Poodles are poodles, not really poodles, mixing poodles. It's like cranberry juice. We don't want to drink cranberry juice, but in the 80s, we were mixing it with all the other juices, cran grape, cran apple. Now we got labradoodles and doodledores and all kinds of dumbledores. I don't know, but it seems like everybody's mixing stuff with poodles because they want a decent dog instead of a dog that will fall apart. And that's what poodles do. Well, anyway, I'm getting off the topic. The topic is Moffat. The only thing bad about him, again, is his hair, maybe his eyes. I don't mind it. I don't care that he looks like a monster. They smell. Okay. Dogs, that's universal. If it's been a few days since they've had a bath, they smell. And I hate the way dogs smell. So I rarely pet the dog without washing my hands afterwards. So I rarely pet the dogs. And they're cool with that. I mean, we have an understanding. I let them live in the house. I don't let them suffer. And they respect me as the alpha male of the house, which is a good mix. Well, anyway, I did pet Moffitt in a moment of weakness. He came up to me and he kind of jumped up on my leg and just looked at me. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not heartless. And I had recently read this article that when dogs look at you, it's they have the same chemical releases in their brain that you do when you hug someone. So every time a dog looks at you, your dog anyway, it's like they're hugging you. That's what it makes them feel like. And it kind of broke this stereotype I had in my head that dogs only love you because you feed them. Like maybe there's genuine feelings in there. So anyway, all that's going through my head. I reached down in a moment of weakness with my left hand. This is important for later. And I scratch his head. And he likes it when I go between his eyes. Because he's got this wide gap between his eyes, even though they're both on the front of his face. Most dogs have their eyes where they belong, on the side of their heads, kind of, you know. But his are like two forward-facing eyes. It's weird. Except his eyeballs point a little to the left and a little to the right, which is fine. It's acceptable. I like it. He kind of looks like a gecko, you know. Like my brother says, one eye's looking at you, the other's looking for you, you know. So I pet the dog. And it's done. And I do not wash my hands. So I go downstairs. I'm working on my computer. Probably doing something really fun and interesting. Like fixing a website misspelling that I'm constantly finding on NLCast.com. And I have something in my teeth. So I start picking my teeth with my left hand. And this flavor just shoots through my mouth. And it's not a good one, ladies and gentlemen. It is a bad one. It tastes like Moffitt smells. It's horrible. My mouth is watering just remembering it. I immediately got up and ran upstairs two flights from the basement to the main floor to the upstairs to brush my teeth and wash my hands and to cleanse myself from the dog ick, as if I would turn into some were-shih-tzu. I don't know. But it was traumatizing. If I felt better, I would probably be a little more animated about this. I don't feel good today. Like I think I've said I'm a little sick. Not depressed, just sick. So yeah, I know what my dog tastes like. It's so gross. It's so gross. They say, what do they say? You know, 90% of taste is smell. I don't know. I don't know if I buy that, but something was combining to create a unique flavor that I never want to taste again. And when he looks at me, he may be hugging me, but when I look at him, I see something detestable and that tastes very bad and it's not nutritious and something I don't want to be a part of my new bariatric stomach. All right. Speaking of bariatric stomach, several weeks ago, it's to the tune of 6 weeks ago, I had bariatric sleeve surgery where they turned my stomach into a sleeve so I could lose weight fast. And if I thought it was cheating, it is. It's still cheating because, man, I hear these stories about these people that were huge. Just saw one the other day, a guy who wasn't giant, but he was as big as I was. And he, through a number of years and just disciplining himself, lost 150 pounds. And man, he has bragging rights that I will never have because I took a shortcut. I have my reasons. Those of you that listen to the show know that I would eat until I was full. And I had gotten to the point where that was normal instead of eating past I was full. But it still wasn't enough to lose any weight. You guys also know that I tried dieting and exercise several times and had mixed results, sometimes very good ones, but I'd always gain it back. So I admit that I am not as strong as these people. So I had the ability to get the surgery. So I did. So anyway, go back and listen a couple episodes if you want to hear more on that. There's some good stories. Surgery Stories is the episode that I'm thinking of. But I'm done with week two of Soft Solids. And so I am pretty much on my own recognizance, if that's the right word. I can eat, whatever I want now. There's no limitations. My stomach, though, is not in agreement with that. I tried pizza last night, a piece of pizza, a piece of cheese pizza, and it went down really good. Like, usually I can feel my food settling in my stomach, and it feels like rocks. But this time I ate it, and it felt fine. And then I always get this full feeling, obviously, and it's time to be done. I did not eat the crust. But apparently it was too much grease or something, because my stomach has been like purified over the last 6 weeks. And it's not doing good now. But the crazy thing is I was doing fine until I woke up about 2:30 in the morning. I hadn't eaten breakfast because the night before I felt like I'd overeaten. I'd gone to meet with a family who was a fan of the show, and I had had some chicken, and chicken sits heavy in my stomach. And then we had dinner, and I had the tiniest bit of food. I'm literally talking about three bites of pad Thai noodles, and they were so good. But I felt like I was going to burst. I was like scared. So I didn't eat breakfast yesterday morning. And so I was hungry at 2:30 this morning. So I had a little thing of yogurt. And I wasn't real sure if the yogurt was good anymore, but it said April. You know, yogurt is bad, right, to begin with, meaning it's gone bad. It's gone off. How do you really know when it's not good anymore? But I smelled it. It smelled fine. I tasted it. It tasted fine. So I had it. And then I started feeling sick after this daggum yogurt, which most of you will remember was a part of week one. When I was on liquids only, I could have yogurt. So why is my stomach dealing with that? But I'm feeling kind of nauseous ever since 2:30 this morning. I'm feeling a little crampy. I'm feeling rocks in my stomach. And I haven't had breakfast because I want that feeling to go away. I want everything to clear out. You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you eat when you feel sick and full? So I don't know if it was the pizza. I don't know if the yogurt was off. I don't know if I ruined my life by getting this surgery at this point. I mean, that's kind of where I'm feeling, because I always feel that way when things aren't going well. I'm like, what did I do to myself? You know, is this going to be for the rest of my life? You know, but I don't know. So I'm assuming that it's just part of the program. I'm meeting with a nurse, one of my nurses, this week over, over the internet, and I'm going to tell her all about it. She's going to get an earful, and I'm going to hopefully hear back. The doctor had said that you can stay at different levels of food. So I can stay on soft solids for a little longer. She said, you'll know. Just don't move too fast forward. So technically I'm allowed to have whatever I want now, but I'm not sure I want to do that yet. I eat a lot of chicken. Chicken's my main protein. And so far, chicken has not agreed with me. I've gotten through it every time I've eaten it, but it does sit heavy. But you know what? So did oatmeal at first. So did applesauce back in the day when I started on pureed foods. So I don't know, but I just know my stomach is hating everything. It hates everything, and that's fine. It's fine. I'm down 50 pounds, which is crazy. I like to mention non-scale victories, as was requested by one of our listeners. And my victory was, it's going to have to be a story. You know me, it's a story. So I ordered some weights online on Amazon. And I was like, these are going to be great. I'm going to get these dumbbells and I'm going to curl them. I'm going to bench press them, you know, like as if they were one bar, and then I'll lift them over my heads and hit my head, and it won't affect my stomach because I'm not allowed to work out anything below the chest until I get a release. And it's not time yet. I can tell you right now, like I can poke around in my stomach and still feel sensitive areas that are healing in there. So it's not time. But I ordered 50 pounders thinking, you know, not knowing, but thinking that's what I need. Ordered two of them. Then they came. And they came in one box. And that box was 100 freaking pounds. I couldn't lift it off the ground. I had to drag it up the stairs to the door, feeling like my guts were going to blow up any minute. And then I pull one of them out of the box and I try to curl it. I can't even lift it off, hardly lift it off the ground, much less curl it. And why did you go with 50 pounds, stupid? That's what I'd be asking if I was you. It's because I have these resistance bands, and I assumed that the numbers on them corresponded with the amount of weight that they were simulating. I think it's bull crap, because I was using the biggest tube, you know, in the stretchy band department, and it had a 50 on it, and I'm like, ah, yeah, I'm the man. So I figured I would start there and work my way up, right? No. No. And I even thought, well, I have a 50-pounder. I'll just try to lift it, and eventually I will be able to. No. No, that didn't work at all. You can't lift it, and you're not going to get anywhere. I don't know. So I returned those jokers, and I had to get them into the car one at a time. I had to find a box to put them in. I took them to the UPS store. I was so thrilled when I was done with those things, because I had lifted them everywhere. And but here's the thing. I was lifting those two dumbbells separately and walking them into the store, and it hit me. This is 50 pounds, James. It's killing you. It's killing your hand. You're holding on to it. It's your arm is hurting. Your whole body is struggling around this 50 pounds, you know, in one hand. You used to carry that around with you everywhere. And I told my wife about it. She's like, no wonder you never wanted to go anywhere. You never wanted to walk. You never wanted to hike. You never wanted to do anything because you're carrying around. I'm like, yeah. And I've still got so much to go. So how about that for a non-scale victory? I returned those dumbbells, but I also got rid of one whole dumbbell from my body. So, you know, I'm happy about that. I'm not proud. I'm not proud of it. I've got nothing to be proud of. This has all been medically induced, but I'm very happy. And I'm moving around a lot more, and I have active days on for the first time on Fitbit. I exceed I meet or exceed my walking goals, my step goals, whatever you call it. Because I just get around more, you know. If something was upstairs, I didn't want to go up and get it. You know, if If it was downstairs, I didn't want to go down because I'd have to come back up. Now getting out of the chair is not a problem. Getting out of cars is not a problem. Getting dressed is not a problem. It's good. And I'm feeling better. I'm feeling healthy. I just wish this stomach thing would figure itself out. So a little update on the job. The job called and set an appointment. And I went to that appointment on Friday. And I met with the director of communications and the lead of the creative team, which apparently is a team of about 15 people. And I would be a graphic designer on this team. And we met for about an hour, and they asked a lot of great questions. And I did a lot of talking. I'm afraid I did too much, honestly. But I want to be very honest with these people about me and who I am, because I either want to be accepted or rejected. I'm very extreme in that way. If I'm going to be rejected by this church, I want it to be now. I want it to be at this level. And I told him that. I told him about my past. I told him about working at the cap store and how toxic that was. I even told him about the coloring book place, which I don't even know how much I've told you guys about the coloring book place. But anyway, so it went well. I think they passed all my tests, but we'll see if I pass theirs. I hope to hear something this week. This will be life-changing for me if I get this job, because I don't do anything, you know, other than this podcast and sit around the house all day. So, I mean, it's even going to change how many cars we need, because right now we're getting by on two. My son drives one to school. My wife drives hers to work. I don't have one at the house, which is rarely an issue. If I need one, I take my wife to work, and then I have the car for the day, which I do. I did it twice last week, once for the interview and once to run errands. I've been selling off all my sound equipment because I upgraded to the Rodecaster Pro 2 and went totally digital instead of analog. But we've visited the church three times now. We went on Easter. I mentioned that. We went last week, and then we went yesterday, and we like it. We like it. It's very heavy on production value, meaning they take a lot of time to make sure that everything is done excellently and well. They are very streamlined in their message. And my noticing all of that came out very well for the interview, because they asked what I had noticed about their intentionality. And I was able to say, you know, from the moment I cross your gate, you know, with your sign out front, to the exterior of the building, to the interior, to your website, to your app, everything is consistent. Everything feels non-cringe. Everything feels intentional. Everything feels comfy and coffee shop / living room comfortable. The problem I have with that usually is churches tend to overemphasize it at the detriment of all else. But this church seems to have a good balance going, because they're not afraid to challenge people with the messages that they preach, which usually these churches that overemphasize the customer's experience, they don't preach anything that would challenge anybody. They don't demand anything. They don't even do all, you know, calls for salvation and stuff like that. These guys do. And they're not afraid to ask the tough questions. And so I respect that, and I'm pretty happy with it. But it's very non-cringe, and I like that too, because sometimes you go to church and you don't know what they're going to do to you as a new person. They're going to stand you up and make you introduce your whole family, you know, at a certain point in the service. It's terrible. I hate that. I mean, churches love it because they're like, oh, we have a new visitor. That's amazing. And the pastor loves it because he's like, yeah, I've attracted one more person to the, I don't know why they're talking like that, but The other thing too for a church is if the only people that say hi to you are the people that have been hired to, I know they're volunteers, but who are supposed to, that's kind of a sign for me. And we've been welcomed and greeted by last week. It was two people. And I remember their names because of the office. Their names were Jim and Pam. So that was awesome. But we met some new people today, or yesterday, and it was easy. It's easy to prejudge people when you first see them, isn't it? But then you get to know them a tiny bit through a small conversation and your whole perception of them changes. You know, you find out so much in such a little time. And I forget that because I've been locked up in this house, you know, or in a house for 10 years. And most of my outreach has been to my family. But yeah, it was just, a gray-haired lady whose name starts with a K. I can't remember her name. But yeah, you know, you just assume things about somebody and they turn around and tell you a little bit about their life and their kids and their husband and you know, their mother standing right next to them. And you just, you find your heart store opening and it's not a bad feeling. Because I think part of us wants to attend this church and kind of be anonymous. I don't know how possible that's going to be, and I don't know how much I'm going to want it to be. So, but the big thing is, and I said this in the interview, is I didn't want to have to go. You know, it's a requirement, obviously, to be a member of the staff to go to the church. It makes sense because they're a family, they're a culture. You want to be part of it. You just do. You're part of a ministry and you're ministering and supporting a sermon, a message, a family, and you need to be a part of that. I believe that. So, but rather than it being a requirement, I wanted to go there. And I'll be honest, if I hadn't liked the church, I would have stopped pursuing the position, obviously, because I'm not going to go to a place that I don't like or don't agree with or don't believe what they believe. So it's really good so far. So so the thing you heard me talking about earlier is I've switched the way I record completely. And I don't know if I've talked about this on GOK, but it's important to me. So I will mention it. I've spent so many years, 17 years, upgrading and fine-tuning my podcast setup. And back in 2006, podcasting was, for us, two borrowed SM58s, which is your typical church microphone that's corded, that would run into a USB interface that would plug into a laptop. And we recorded on, I think back then, Audition was called Cool Edit Pro. And I think it was a pirated version of Cool Edit Pro. I don't think anybody paid for Adobe or anything before. Anyway, back then, before I had a conscience about such things. But slowly that equipment was upgraded, and I bumped into a fella online named Ravenscraft, and he was the podcast answer man, and I hated that title, but he knew what he was talking about, and he knew what he was doing, and I mimicked his setup because I liked the way his podcast sounded. And his podcast at the time, this was in the tens probably, or the teens. So it was all analog. And what that means is everything was plugged in. There were wires everywhere. And about 3-4 years ago, Rode microphones came out with something called the Rodecaster. Rodecaster Pro, I think is what it was actually called. And it is a, it's everything mixed together that you need. Because, okay, I'll run you through an analog chain. That's what we call it, from the microphone all the way to its final destination. It would go through my microphone directly into the mixer. A mixer is where all the sound is mixed together, all the different sources. And there were three sources. There was me, it was John, and then there was the computer that played the sound clips and bumpers and things like that. Stuff like this. Oops, hold on. So there you go. So it went from my microphone into the mixer. It was a cable that took it out of the mixer, put it into a compressor limiter gate, which kept hiss from happening. It kept it to where I would never sounded too loud, never clipped out, crackling at the top and distorted. It kept the levels nice and clean. And then it piped it right back in to the mixer. And so did John's. It went that way. And then sound effects came from the computer. But also a mix minus went out from the mixer. Mix minus just means it was everything. It was all the sounds except for John. Because John needed to hear the sound effects and he needed to hear me. But he did not need to hear himself because of the delay. I believe I talked about this already. So it also sent that out through an auxiliary channel. That makes no sense to most of you, but some of you maybe. So it's complicated, right? It is. Well, now my chain is this. My mic goes directly into my Rodecaster. Sound effects are played on the Rodecaster. I didn't talk about my mic amp, but I had a microphone amplifier that duplicated the microphone sound and or the headphones. Did I say microphone? I had cloud lifters as well. These added gain to these microphones. I don't need those anymore. I don't need headphone amplifiers. All of that is in this one machine. And it all went from the mixer at the end of the day out to a recorder that I've had for years, Handy Recorder H4N. And the Rodecaster records to the same media that Handycaster or Handy recorder did. So it does everything. And I was finally convinced to switch because a guy I respect a great deal on the internet who does voiceover work did a video on his setup. He had even more things in his chain than I did. And he switched, got rid of all of it. So I got the Rodecaster. We tested it out. I've been selling stuff all week. I got rid of my boom arm. I got rid of my compressor limiter gate. I've gotten rid of one cloud lifter. I got rid of my microphone. There's still a few things. There's a rack. There's a mixer. My recorder needs to go. And I have one more cloud lifter that needs to go. And a couple of boom arms. So if you're interested, hit me up. Everything's 50% off and I will ship it. So, and shipping's not bad. Not as bad as you would think. So it's really been doing well. I'm recording on it now. Hopefully you can, hopefully you don't tell a difference actually. Hopefully everything sounds great. So we live streamed with it, for the first time using StreamYard. So we live stream to Twitch, which is usually a gaming thing, but they have a podcast, world of, for people to stream to. And then we stream to YouTube Live, and that went really well. StreamYard records John's side of the conversation on his computer and then uploads it automatically and does the same for me. I'm able then to take those two individual recordings of video and audio and edit them together in Adobe Premiere to make a video podcast. And it will go live on our YouTube channel tomorrow morning. And I'm really excited about that because it looks really good. And that was a huge ordeal before, you know, trying to do it manually, trying to do it organically. So we'll see. I paid for a month of StreamYard.com or .io. I don't even know. But they want you to pay annually, but I didn't want to get a year, you know, an episode or two into it and find out we hated it or it didn't work. But so far it sounds pretty good. So I'm podcasting. One of the things I didn't mention is the reason why I've spent years and years honing the podcast equipment that I had was to eliminate stress. And the problem is when something does go wrong and there's so many cables and cords, there's so many areas where it could fail. And you never know what has failed when things aren't working right. So you have to start at the top of the chain. Is the mic plugged in? Is the mic okay? Is the cable to the mixer okay? Is the thing to the compressor limiter gate fine? Is the gate powered? Is it, you know, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And you have to troubleshoot all the way through to the handy recorder at the end of the thing. Is it plugged in? Is it turned on? Is it recording? Because that's where I would monitor things. That's where my headphones would plug in. Is it just the headphones that are out? Is it just the, you know, the headphone amplifier that's out? You know, there's a lot of things. Now I know if it's broke, it's just one box. And that would suck because the one box was expensive. But I'm making my money back by selling all my stuff. So it's, and thanks to you guys who are supporting listeners who support the show, you make, you know, changes like this possible and it makes stress so less dense. Like today I feel like crap because of my stomach acting up, possibly because of pizza, possibly because of yogurt. Either way, I'm mad at it. But today I wouldn't have podcasted if I'd had to sit down and crank everything up. But today I literally hit two buttons. I hit the power button on the Rodecaster. I hit the record button and everything just works. So thank you. Thank you for, I mean, I've already thanked you last week for helping me pay for part of my surgery. This week, thank you for helping me simplify podcasting and just upgrade it. I mean, that's really where the money goes. Is it so far has gone back into the show. It's gone into my family, and that's why I appreciate it so much. So where are we at depression-wise? Energy has been lower the last couple of days. I know I was super hype a few weeks ago, and then things have kind of settled, which is good. But I was very high energy all week, getting a lot of things done, getting things accomplished, running errands, you know, borrowing the car to deliver things, getting rid of my, very motivated to get rid of my podcast equipment and make that money back that I spent on the Rodecaster. So, but I'm feeling sick today and I still got up. I did my Bible reading. I did my prayers. Though I had to apologize to God, even though I sure he doesn't care. I wasn't as flamboyant or that's probably not the right word for prayer, but I wasn't as, artistic as I typically try to be. It was just, God, please, you know, bless this person in the basics and then the next person in the basics and then me in the basics. And that was about it. But I'm sure he understands, but I did my walking too. I'm walking at level 3 now and mention that. So I don't know what the buttons mean. I don't know if they mean miles per hour. You know, I don't know, but I used to walk at 1 and I walk at 2 and then I worked at 2.3 and I noticed on my watch, cause I have one of those smartwatches at, my heart rate wasn't going up to the fat burning level, you know, 130 plus, you know, somewhere in there. So I hit the daggum 3 and I trudged through 30 minutes at number three, and then I did it again and again and again and again. And the only day I took off last week, or I should say this week, is Sunday. That's my rest day, because I could feel it, man, in my lower back, in my abs, in my legs. It was just, you know, getting used to it and then putting myself through it every day. I probably could have taken a break and it would have been okay to do it for one day or to take a, but I didn't want to break my flow. So I'm getting my heart rate up. I'm sweating at the end of the workout. You know, it's good for me. And I ordered some 20-pound dumbbells, so they should be here today. And I'll be sure to update you on if I can lift 20 pounds or not. We'll see. We'll sure enough see. So depression is good. I have a medication that I'm not taking on accident, actually. It's a pretty important one. It's an anti-anxiety, and it helps me sleep. And apparently there's a national shortage on this stuff. And I can't get it filled. It's been days. Luckily, I have another anxiety medicine that the doctor gave me back when I was working at the cat place, because anxiety was really, really ramping up because of the culture there and the management style. And I've been taking that, and it doesn't last as long and it's not as good, but it's helped me not to have any withdrawal symptoms, I guess, because the stuff I'm talking about is a controlled substance and it is addictive if you overdo it. I've obviously never overdo it. I take my prescription and that is it. It doesn't cause headaches. It doesn't cause lightheadedness or anything like that. I haven't had any issues except for sleep. And I think I'm in a good place to not have it. And when I get it back, I might just start taking one instead of two, but we'll have to see. But yeah, I don't know if they're selling the stuff out of the back of the store because it's the city, or if they're legitimately out. But the guy on the phone says that there will be more maybe Monday, but he wasn't even sure about that. So yeah, life. Let me talk to the teenagers who don't listen to this show real quick. My wife and I were out at dinner at a place called Pad Thai in Lamplighter Square. It's a great place. So good. And sat next to us came in these bungling teenage girls. I don't know how old they were. We assumed they drove themselves there, which turned out to not be the case. So we were giving them 16, but they were acting like absolute middle schoolers. You know how middle schoolers will be in public where they're loud and obnoxious and, hey, look at me, because they think it makes them separated from being kids. But honestly, they're just being children. And that's what these two were being. And I try to encourage my wife not to, you know, just to ignore them. But I found that myself, I couldn't even have a conversation. They were on their phones. They were playing weird sound effects. They were talking. So when I say they're on their phones, they were on the phone talking to people with, what do you call it? You know, they were on the daggum phone. I mean, the broadcast, the voice, anyway, it was broadcasting. So you could hear all the conversations. And so I went up and asked to move because I was already plotting and planning things like putting them on Facebook Live and saying, hey, this is what Gen Z looks like. They're idiots. You know, I had things in mind to accost them without being violent in any way. But they were children. They were absolute children. And so encourage your kids, or if you are a kid yourself listening to this, read the room. Okay. There is a place and a time to be crazy. Adults do it too. Matter of fact, I've learned that maturity is not the lack of immaturity. It's being able to turn it off and on whenever you need to. So my takeaway is read the room. If you're in a nice restaurant and everybody's chilling and relaxing, you should respect that. And you should become a part of that atmosphere, because those people are paying good money. It's kind of like in a movie theater. They're paying good money. And they didn't come to hear you. They came to hear whoever they were with, their date, whatever, what have you, their family members in the movie. They came to see the movie, not hear or see your phone. And then when you're out on your own, when you're driving in your car, when you're at the mall, you know, go nuts, be crazy. Absolutely. Let your crazy flag fly, but, you know, keep it low. But we're Gen X, you know, we just moved to a different place. They became part of the background noise, and it was wonderful. But they were LBBs, living, breathing buttheads. That's what I call them. They're people that exist just to be a thorn in your side. They have no purpose in life outside of being obnoxious. And sure enough, they left before we did. But then when we went out to our car, they were waiting. And this giant SUV, absolutely massive SUV, pulls up. They start screaming and running and kind of tripping over their slides into this vehicle. And I'm like, they weren't even old enough to drive themselves. It's probably they're just rich little white kids is what the problem was the whole time. They weren't just LBBs. They're rich white kids. And that's what I don't think I'll ever be able to get over if we ever move out of the city, is there are no entitled kids in the inner city. People don't do stupid crap like that, like scream and run around like idiots, because it's dangerous here. So there is a trade-off. Like last night when I was eating my nasty yogurt, I heard gunfire from at least three different weapons for about 10 seconds. And it was far enough away to where I knew I didn't have to worry about anything. But somebody went to the hospital or died, I'm telling you. Because then I waited, and I'm like, do they have more ammo? Is there going to be a second volley? And there was one or two cracks, little pops after that. But they either mowed each other down or they ran away. I mean, I've been across the street from a semi-automatic weapons discharge, you know, fight gang related thing. So, I mean, there is that. But to me, call me crazy, I can handle that more than I can handle these idiot rich white kids with their BMWs screaming down the freeway, weaving through traffic, absolutely disregarding everyone else's safety. You know, you could say the same thing about people firing weapons, but it's so rare that happens versus how every time I go out to the suburbs, I see rich white kids acting like idiots. So don't be an idiot, rich white kids. Family update time. Jen is still waiting for this job offer. She's all but given up on it, but I'm telling her, and in the feedback that she's gotten from her headhunter, is that they are trying to create a new position for her because the original position was not going, the money was not going to attract her away from her existing job. The challenge of the job was attracting her. The story is they're going back and forth to HR and to COO or CEO or somebody, and they're putting together a custom position to offer her. And I believe we'll hear something this week. I really do. Because if they weren't, wouldn't they have told her? Are they going to just string her along for no reason? No, they would have told her. And the headhunter doesn't want to waste his time. So he would have pried it out of their brains one way or the other. So looking forward to that. It'll be a huge change. I mean, huge changes are coming our way. If I get this job, I'll be working full time. We'll have to get another vehicle of some kind. Jen will be working at a new job. You know, these are amongst the most stressful things on the list of stressful things. So I don't know. We'll see. And then Jenna, my daughter, she'll be done with her first year of college in 3 weeks. Isn't that crazy? It is to me. She just left, and now she'll be back all summer. She's doing an internship at her mom's current place of employment. And so we're pretty thrilled about that. I don't know what she'll be doing, but she'll be doing it. And she'll be doing it dressed up nice, you know, and she won't have to wear a Chick-fil-A outfit. So Jay bleached his hair a while back for no obvious reason, just did. I think he had a friend that could do it, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. But then it grew out. It grew out very fast because he has his dad's hair. It's very dense and thick and grows fast. And so he had it shaved off, and they shaved it too short. Now he hates it. But I told him, you know, in 2 weeks, you could literally go have another haircut. So he'll be okay. You know, white kid problems. What am I watching, reading, and playing? Well, I'm reading nothing because I don't want to fall asleep on my books. And so I still have this second part to this Silo series that I need to read, but I haven't done it. I've been busy. But if I get this job, I will be driving 30 to 35 minutes each way, which in St. Louis is a long way. Okay. That is forever away. So I will have plenty of podcast time and I will have plenty of audiobook time. And so I will have reports on what I'm reading. But what am I watching? Well, mostly YouTube, but I'll take a break from YouTube suggestions this week to tell you I'm rewatching Encanto, whatever it is. It's from Disney. It was their last thing before Wish, I believe. And it's about a Colombian family who are magic and they all have powers except for this one girl. And her powers seem to be negative, that are going to break the family. Anyway, it's making a lot more sense the second time through than it did the first time through. And I like magical type of movies. I like that whole thing. And their house is magical. It's like a character that helps them out and all this. And it's also, it helps illustrate how the family's doing. Like the house echoes kind of the feelings going on in the family. So yeah, I just started watching that with my wife. I'm also watching the new Fallout series on Prime, and I've only watched half of the first episode, and I am a fan so far. I love Fallout video game, especially 3 and 4. Those were actually the only two I've ever played, but I've played through Fallout 4 about 5 times from front to back, and it's hours and hours and hours to the tune of 40 to 60 hours long each campaign. And there's so many options in the game and so many things and so many details and so much the look and the feel of everything is duplicated in this series. And there's so many things that they've gotten right. And I just love it. Like the vaults that the people live in underground look good down to the staircases, the TVs, the costumes, everything looks so good. And I haven't even gotten out of the vault yet. You always start in a vault in the games, and then you have to go out into the wild because there's this nuclear fallout that happened, you know, up to 200 years ago. Every game is set in a different time period after the nuclear fallout war. So anyway, it might not be everybody's cup of tea. It's very, you know, violent. But that's the video game side of it. You're fighting for your life, and there are bandits that live outside the vaults that want to get in and destroy you and take all your stuff. So that's already happening. What am I playing video game wise? Well, if I was playing a video game, it would probably be Batman Arkham City, but I am not playing anything because I've been filling my time with other things. When I have free time, I'm working on the website. I'm working on Narthex Con, which is coming up, by the way, June 29th, 2 p.m., Melvin Theater. Check it out at narthexcon.com or go to nlcast.com and click on the banner at the top of the screen. Some people can't spell Narthex, and I understand that. It's N-A-R-T-H-E-X, Narthex, T-H-R-E-X. All right. It is a real word. It means the place. in front of a church before you go into the main sanctuary. Originally, apparently, it was a place for the poor to stand and overhear the service rather than being able to join the rich folks in the sanctuary. But now we would call it a lobby. But some people call it a narthex. And that sounds like something you should yell at a football game. So that's why we call it NarthexCon. So what am I doing? Well, I've told you I've been selling sound equipment and setting up my office. And I think I'm about 99% done with the studio office. I hung curtains in here to help baffle the sound. I hung photos or pictures rather. And I have a neon sign. It's not real neon. It's LED, but it looks cool. Of that story show, I put it up on the wall. I got a lot of the crap thrown out and put away. And there's still the tiniest bit to do. Like, I've run out of space to display Buzz Lightyear stuff. And I still have some stuff I want displayed. So what I'm kind of waiting on is finding out where I'm going to be at this new job if I get it. And will I be able to bring a couple of items to decorate my space, my little space? It's going to be an open table kind of situation like my wife works at. So I won't have a cube or anything, which is fine. I won't have an office. That's more than fine. I don't need an office. Don't deserve an office. I'm used to working, you know, and it's fine. But I would love to have a space to put a couple of figures. So I have a little collection sitting over there that hasn't been packed away, eBayed, or displayed. So I'm holding on to that. Also got brakes fixed this weekend, and I'm supposed to get an eye appointment. I'm supposed to get a dentist appointment, and I'm supposed to, some other things. But I got a full list of things. My wife's like, if you're getting this job, you need to do some of these things. And we got to get parts of the house painted because we had a new deck put in before the winter, and it's springtime now. It's time to get it stained or painted or whatever they're going to do to it. So I gotta schedule that. And, you know, anyway, I want to close with what I'm calling a closing thought. So you guys have been with me for a while. You've heard me express the idea that I feel like, or have felt like, that my best years were behind me. I am fighting, and I'm choosing not to believe that. Because when we think of the future, at least when I think of the future, I often don't include God in that view. I just somehow take all of the struggles that I'm going through right now and project them into the future in my mind. And I just see them evolving into something worse, or I see situations evolving because of them to be worse. But like I said, I'm choosing not to think and feel that way. I'm also choosing to take it day by day, choosing to do the next right thing, which I think is just a fancier way of saying moving step by step, you know. A lot is about to change for my family, and I think it's going to be for the better. And also, a lot of good things are ahead for my family. I mean, there's going to be weddings and graduations and grandchildren. That's going to be better than anything in the past, you know, or at least as good. How about that? So my best years are not behind me, and yours aren't either. So let's hold on to hope. Let's have some hope. Let's have some faith. Let's believe that God is not finished with any of us yet. This show is brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Support the show and get a GOK sticker at patreon.com/GOK. Everything helps. I mean, the show's free to produce, that's not true. That is not true at all, actually. What I meant to say is GOK is available at no cost. It doesn't cost you anything, but its creation and hosting requires time and financial investment. So if you're in a position to help, kindly consider becoming a patron member. Your support is greatly appreciated, and I thank you. If you're a listener and you can't, that is absolutely fine. But if you have a few bucks a month to spare, everybody needs one more subscription service. Come on, you know, let's jump in. I'd love to have you. Anyway, if you have an email for me, it's james@nlcast.com. Until next week, love you, appreciate you, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.